Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Does the Bible contradict itself? That's the charge we hear almost daily now in the media, and championed perhaps foremost by University of North Carolina Distinguished Professor of Religious Studies, Dr. Bart Ehrman, in his most recent book and on television shows like The Colbert Report.
The Bible's filled with discrepancies and contradictions. The Bible has books that claim to be written by people who didn't really write them. And the Bible shows that, in fact, some of the earliest teachings of Jesus aren't what became the standard doctrines of Christianity.
To help answer Dr. Ehrman and other frontal assaults on historic biblical Christianity, Hank Hanegraaff has penned a new resource, The Bible Under Siege. Stay tuned to today's broadcast to find out how you can order this important and equipping resource for yourself, a student, or a skeptical friend who may be making these types of assertions. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Before we get to your questions of any sort, I want to spend a little time on what Randy was just talking about, and that is a little booklet that I put together titled The Bible Under Siege. The Bible is, in fact, increasingly under siege, and in a very, very visible way. Randy mentioned Bart Ehrman, and he is succeeding in his mission to now shake the faith of multitudes. And he seems to be proud of causing the faith of many of his students in the classroom to waver. Some students, he says, will resist for a long time. They're going to remain secure in their knowledge that God would not allow any falsehoods into the Bible, but before long, as they see more and more of the evidence that I present, many of them find that their faith in the inerrancy and absolute historical trustworthiness and truthfulness of the Bible begins to waver. Well, as this professor has managed to shake the faith of multitudes in the classroom, he's now bent on shaking the faith of multitudes in the culture. He has systematically forwarded the notion that the Bible is not only hopelessly contradictory, but from his perspective, a dangerous book in which to believe. In fact, he's gone as far as to intimate that had we embraced the Gospel of Judas, a Gnostic gospel, rather than the Gospel of John, a canonical gospel, we might well have avoided nothing less than the Holocaust itself. So in light of this onslaught by Bart Ehrman and many others like him in the media, I offer a booklet as a means of exposing the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. In this booklet, again, it's titled The Bible Under Siege, you're going to encounter the memorable acronym LEGACY as an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and the meaning of the Bible. The booklet includes all kinds of acronyms, including my acronym SHAFT, as a memorable means of unearthing and undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. The shaft of the archaeologist's spade is a method by which you can remember that contra Ehrman, what has been discovered in the soil, corresponds to what is detailed in the Bible. And in addition to exposing the sophistry and script torture of professors and pundits, the booklet systematically demonstrates that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. We need to counter the attacks. That's why I've written the booklet. It is a booklet that is going to help stem the tide. And the reason it's going to do that is it's going to equip you to give an answer to people who hear that the Bible's full of contradictions And you can use your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity for sharing not only that the Bible is divine, but sharing the message of the Bible, how you can have a relationship with God, not only for time, but for eternity, because that's the unfolding message of the Bible. Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, put it this way: it is error and not truth that shrinks from inquiry. And that's only true today if people have the right information to guide their inquiry. And that's why I want to send you the Bible Under Siege booklet for your help in resupplying CRI with the resources needed to continue leading the battle for biblical truth. For your gift to the ministry today, again, the Bible Under Siege is available. You can order it online at equip.org. Through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. That translates, by the way, to 888-7000-274. A lot of you standing by with your questions. Let's go right to the phone lines now. Talk to Anna, listening at WAVA in West Virginia. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
Well, thank you, Hank, for your program. Your program is like a wonderful blessing for me and my husband. I have a question. I've been saved for 6 years, and I know that salvation is through grace, not through works. But my mother-in-law has been throwing me a verse at my face all the time, stating that this means that you can lose your salvation, and it's found in Revelation 3:5, and where it talks about that he will not blot out our book, our name out of the book of life. Can you explain that to me? What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, the book of life and the books of merit are communicated by the Apostle John on Patmos through a letter to seven churches in the province of Asia. And they're metaphors for the fact that there are those who belong to Christ and those who do not belong to the kingdom of Christ. And with respect to those who belong to the kingdom of Christ, there's also going to be a judgment with respect to rewards, which is to say there are degrees of punishment in hell and degrees of reward in heaven. I've written about that in a book called Resurrection. But in this case, what you actually have is not something that limits our assurance of salvation, but rather underscores our assurance of salvation. Because in the letter to the church in Sardis, and by the way, the church in Sardis was full of people who had a reputation of being alive but were really asleep, and Jesus is saying to them, remember what you have received and heard, obey it, and repent. And if you don't wake up, I'm going to come like a thief in the night, and you're not going to know at what time I'm going to come to you. And then Jesus says that there are a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes, and they are going to walk with him dressed in white, for they are worthy. Now, by the way, what does dressed in white mean? It means that you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your name will always be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, a metaphor, but your name will remain in his book, and you will never lose your eternal salvation. And the reason for that is that from a biblical perspective, Jesus Christ is the overcomer. If you go to John's gospel, and John wrote both Revelation and the Gospel of John, as well as epistles, he says, in this world, and he's speaking here the words of Jesus, or writing down the words of Jesus, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So who's the overcomer? Jesus Christ is the overcomer. And the inference is that if we are overcomers through the work of Jesus Christ, who overcomes, will never blot our names out from the book of life. So he's the overcomer. If we are in Jesus Christ, then we are dressed in the spotless robes of his righteousness, and we can be assured that we will never lose our salvation because the one who begins the process finishes the process.
Right. Well, then thank you so much, Hank, for your information, and thank you so much.
You are welcome.
All right, Hank. Thank you.
God bless you, Anna. And of course, I think it's important that if you look at the overall perspective of Scripture, what Scripture is teaching us is that we have the assurance of eternal life, and that life did not begin when we die, but it begins when we embrace the Savior who died in our place. And just as our physical birth can never be undone, so too our spiritual birth can never be undone. Christ said, ye must be born again, not ye must be born again and again and again. In Philippians, Paul actually praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry that good work on to completion. And of course, the Bible is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer, including John 5:24, which says, he who believes has eternal life, not might have or could have, but has eternal life. And 1 Corinthians 1:8 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end because he is the overcomer. And Jude 24 guarantees that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. And Ephesians provides the surety that you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. I've said it many times, but the Lord's trees are evergreen. I love what Jesus says, my sheep, well, they listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do we have the assurance of salvation in Scripture? Absolutely. And that salvation, again, starts today. When you receive Jesus Christ, if that day is today, you have eternal life. It doesn't start when you die. It starts when you embrace the Savior who died in your place. He's the overcomer, and if you are in him, you will overcome. Before we go to break, I want to mention once again the need for people to stand with the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our many ministry outreaches. Stand with us prayerfully and financially. We're in the encroaching months of summer. And during those encroaching months, income is at a premium because people go off on vacation, and yet the ministry continues to transform lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have some of the Lord's money, some of his resources, and you can invest it in a ministry that is touching lives, it would be deeply appreciated. Again, you're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. And for your gift today, I'd love to send you the Bible Under Siege. We got many other wonderful resources that I'd gladly send you as a way of saying thank you for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But the Bible Under Siege is a crucial little booklet, and we'll be sending that out to you as our way of saying thank you for standing with a ministry that is standing for truth no matter what the cost. Again, the booklet available on the World Wide Web. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion for your gift via the mailbox 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, we'll be right back with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So don't touch that dial and don't stop praying for a ministry that is circling the globe with the message of Jesus Christ and making a difference for time and for eternity. Be right back.
In Hank Hanegraaff's The Bible Under Siege, he offers three strategic and memorable acronyms to win the war in the fight for the Bible. First, in light of the current onslaught against the sacred text of Scripture, Hank gives us legacy, an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and meaning of the Bible. Next is Hank's new acronym, SHAFT, a memorable means of unearthing the undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Indeed, the shaft of the archaeologist's spade is a method by which you can remember that what has been discovered in the soil corresponds to what is detailed in the scriptures. Finally, maps. Since most Bibles are replete with maps, this should prove to be a memorable association. Become equipped to present the Bible in all its power and authority, and respond to false attacks when you order The Bible Under Siege for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online at www.equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig, nationally simulcast teen apologetics conference on Saturday, August 8th to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in new styles. And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition when you call 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, there are more ways than ever to support the ministries of the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Bible Answer Man support team has been updated and expanded, as well as the CRI Fellowship Programs and the CRI President's Council. These are all strategic ways you can contribute to the ongoing physical health of our ministry as we help you help us. CRI values your partnership through regular prayers and financial giving. For more details about how you can partner with us to keep truth alive, go to the World Wide Web at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. As many professors have gone wild in the classroom, they've managed to shake the faith of multitudes in our culture through the mass media. Dr. Bart Ehrman, for instance, has authored more than 20 books, which have been featured in Time Magazine, NBC's Dateline, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, CNN, The History Channel, major national public radio programs, and other top media outlets. These works have systematically forwarded the notion that the Bible is not only hopelessly contradictory, but also is a dangerous book in which to believe. Ehrman has gone so far as to intimate that had we embraced the Gospel of Judas instead of the Gospel of John, we might well have avoided nothing less than the Holocaust itself. Become equipped to respond to false assertions like this and many more when you order the Bible Under Siege booklet by Hank Hanegraaff for your ministry gift to the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-274 or go online at www.equip.org. And now, here is Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, before we get back to our questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a couple of comments in response to what Randy said. You know, the little booklet that we're talking about, The Bible Under Siege, really counters the arguments made by people like Professor Bart Ehrman. I've said on the broadcast many times that the New Testament has stronger manuscript support than any other work of classical literature, including Homer, Plato, Aristotle, Caesar, and Tacitus. Bart Ehrman, however, seeks to negate the value of the manuscript evidence by arguing that there are more differences among our manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. And at first blush, his argument seems to have some real credibility, but if you look closer, there's no weight there whatsoever. Because suppose you wrote an essay and asked five friends to produce a handwritten copy of the essay. Imagine further that each of them asked five friends to do the same thing. Well, of course, the first five would make mistakes, and those who copy the copies would make more mistakes. And by the fifth generation, you'd have approximately 4,000 flawed, quote-unquote, manuscripts on your hand. That sounds grim. But if you think about it for a moment, your five friends would make mistakes, but they wouldn't all make the same mistakes. And if you compared the copies, you'd find that one group contained the same mistakes while the other four did not. And this would make it easy to tell the copies from the original. Not only so, but most of the mistakes would be obvious, such as misspelled words or a misconjunction. And even if you lost the original, as long as you had access to the copies, it'd be a rather simple matter to reproduce the original piece. And that's essentially the situation we have with the New Testament. We've got thousands of copies that have been classified by scholars into groups, and thus we can determine with great precision what the originals actually said. So while it can be argued that there are differences in style and spelling among the various manuscripts, it can't be credibly asserted that there are significant differences in substance. I bring all of that up, of course, to negate the arguments that Professor Ehrman and company are making in the national media to demonstrate that the Bible can't be trusted. It's full of mistakes. Well, he's made a basic error in not understanding how the manuscripts can be used with respect to the bibliographic test to demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. Again, the booklet, The Bible Under Siege, gives us a response
to the professors who have gone wild on television and in the classroom to try to say the Bible is just a hopelessly flawed manuscript. Nothing could be farther from the truth. These are God's words. They can be trusted. They are written down by men, but they are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Bible is a masterpiece of precision and design. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Marcus, listening on KARF in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Hi, Marcus.
Hello. How are you today, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My question comes from Isaiah 53:10, where in that verse it says, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. That's been interpreted to me as Jesus had and saw children, because it goes from a literal sense to a metaphorical sense to a literal sense again. And I was wondering, is there any other places where I can show that that theory is incorrect, and other places where it's done that?
Well, you can't prove the idea that Jesus had children from Isaiah 53. By the way, one of the most noteworthy passages in all of Scripture, most fondly remembered, because here we see that Jesus Christ is a suffering servant who took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Obviously, that's a spiritual healing, right? We're healed of transgressions. We're healed of our iniquities. So again, the spiritual context permeates this passage. So when later on in Isaiah 53, we read, it was the Lord's will to crush Jesus Christ and to cause him to suffer, and that through this suffering, the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, and because of that, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. We're obviously talking about spiritual offspring, not physical offspring, as though Jesus Christ was married to someone like Mary Magdalene and bore children. This is spiritual offspring. In fact, the Bible throughout talks about the fact that believers in Christ are descendants or offspring of God or Abraham or of Christ. We are sons of God. We are descendants of Abraham. We are the offspring of the suffering servant. We are the spiritual children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the point of the passage.
That was my understanding of it as well, except that this has been an ongoing discussion for months between my father and myself. He's an English professor, or used to be.
Yeah.
And his basic argument is it seems to him this verse goes from being a literal sense of Jesus Christ bruising and this and that and other thing, and then to his actual seed, as in him having children of flesh.
Well, there's nothing in the passage that intimates that at all, and as a literary professor, I think if he reads back through the passage, he can be certain of that.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
I appreciate you, sir. You have a good day.
Hey, thank you. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Patricia, listening on KKHT in Texas. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, good. I'm a believer. I'm a brand new believer. And I was reading the book of Acts, and it says how Judas suddenly burst. But in the Gospels, it says he was hung. So can you kind of clarify that for me?
Yeah, sure. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, it points out that Judas left the temple after he threw the money into the temple. He went away and he hanged himself. And Acts is adding information to the biblical text. It's not contradictory, it's complementary. Acts is adding that Judas fell, his body opened up, his intestines gushed out. And because no
Jew hung himself, or
right, yeah, and there's a reason for that. No Jew would bury a dead corpse during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Judas, no doubt, hung for days. He decomposed in the hot sun, and eventually fell and burst open.
Wow.
So it's added information that's complementary that gives you further details regarding the death of Judas.
See, I think that's one of the problems for believers, too. Like, how does someone find out these things when you're born American and, you know, you have no, no outside information? It's kind of difficult. And I can see how people kind of get confused. And, you know, if you're not, if that's not your culture, how do you, you know, understand?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think that it helps to know that the Feast of Unleavened Bread commemorates the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt and the establishment of Israel as a nation, that it begins on the day after Passover, it lasts for 7 days, and that contextual information helps you understand why no Jew would bury a dead corpse during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and helps contextualize it. But look, we do this kind of thing all the time in our writing and our speaking. When I tell you about something that I've done, I oftentimes give you just the cliff notes. Later on, if we continue the same discussion, you might ask me a question. I might add some information.
Yeah.
Adding the information simply helps flesh out the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. And that's all you have here. Again, now, if the Bible said somewhere Judas hung himself, and later on said Judas did not hang himself, what would we have? We'd have contradictory information.
That's right.
But that's not what's going on. What we have here is complementary information that fleshes out the rest of the story.
Oh, well, I don't have a Bible in front of me, but I thought it said he was working in the field. I mean,
It doesn't say that at all. Acts doesn't say that at all.
Okay.
No.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we've dealt with a lot of these kinds of alleged contradictions. It's kind of interesting that you asked that question, because in the Bible Under Siege, I deal with the kinds of objections that are being brought to the fore by people like Professor Bart Ehrman and popularized today in the media. And this, by the way, is one of them. This is, in his view, proof positive that the Bible is full of contradictions. But if you're not a fundamentalist on the left, trying to read everything in a wooden, literalistic fashion, you're not going to fall for these kinds of supposed contradictions. And that's, again, why I produced the Bible Under Siege, so you can learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth, read precisely why we can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. It's a very helpful resource. We produced it as our way of saying thank you for those that support the ministry. So for your gift to the ministry right now, I'll send out the booklet, but it's also a way of equipping you so you're always ready with an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You can order the booklet for your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion, and via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, 888-7000 CRI, and we'll be right back with more of your questions.
As Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, put it, it is error and not truth that shrinks from inquiry. But that's only true today if people have the right mental maps to guide their inquiry. And that's why Hank and the team would like to send you the Bible Under Siege booklet for your help in resupplying CRI with the resources needed to continue leading the battle for biblical truth. Order the Bible Under Siege by Hank Hanegraaff for yourself, a student, or a skeptical friend when you call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online 24 hours a day to our secure website at www.equip.org. Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. People contact the Bible Answer Man in search of answers, in search of truth. And that, of course, is why the Christian Research Institute is here, to provide answers to the questions people are asking, because truth matters. It simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day, a job that's appreciated by major Christian leaders like Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
I don't know, Hank, any other program besides Bible Answer Man that brings guys on like Lee Strobel, like yourself, that really deals with these apologetic issues that people need to know, particularly in this postmodern world where people are just saying, well, there is no truth. The fact is, there is truth. We know that. And you are clearly defining and defending the truth.
We can only provide these answers if we have the funding to do that. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. Remember, you're not giving to us, you're giving through us and making a difference for time and for eternity. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute, there are two easy ways you can contact us right now. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. Or better yet, you can go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. In Hank Hanegraaff's The Bible Under Siege, he offers three strategic and memorable acronyms to win the war in the fight for the Bible. First, Hank gives us legacy, an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and meaning of the Bible. Second, Hank's new acronym, SHAFT,
used as a memorable means of recalling that what has been discovered in the soils by the archaeologist's spade corresponds to what is detailed in the scriptures and unearths the undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Finally, this booklet systematically demonstrates that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin through Hank's MAPS acronym. Become equipped to present the Bible in all its power and authority when you order the Bible Under Siege booklet for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and here are more of our callers. I want to go to Daniel, listening on KFIA in Brentwood, California. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Thank you. I was listening to the radio the other day and listening to a guy named Stephen LeBlanc who was saying that basically it sounded like he was saying that hell is like a spiritual paper shredder, that once you go there, you'll be pretty much destroyed and you won't live there for eternity being tortured in fire and brimstone, which I always thought.
Well, first of all, tortured is not a biblical idea. You might think of hell as torment, but not torture, as though you're in some kind of a draconian tortured chamber being pricked with pitchforks by the devil or something like that. But look, common sense should dictate that a God of love and justice doesn't arbitrarily annihilate the crowning jewels of his creation. He doesn't rub us out. He graciously provides us the freedom to choose between redemption and rebellion. And I think it would be a horrific evil to think that God would create people with freedom of choice and then annihilate them because of their choices. No, he continues to sustain them in existence even if they have determined to live a life apart from his goodness and grace.
And when you're cast into the lake of fire, which I won't be because I know where I'm going, but if your name is not in the book of life and you're cast into the lake of fire, are you immortally in the lake of fire, or are you consumed and then you're gone and you're not really feeling any pain anymore?
Well, the lake of fire is a metaphor.
Okay.
The Bible uses various metaphors to describe what hell is like. One is a lake of fire, another is a lake of burning sulfur, another is black as darkness forever. But they're just metaphors which describe how horrible it will be to be resurrected to eternal damnation, to live an eternity apart from the love and grace and goodness of the one who created you to have a relationship with him. So the notion that you're going to be annihilated or consumed is not a biblical notion. The notion that you're going to live eternally apart from Christ is a biblical notion.
The fellow used a Malachi 4, 1 through 4, as his basis for saying that, which was, I don't even know if the context is right.
What passage is that?
Malachi 4, 1 through 4.
Yeah, and he's using that how?
He's basically using that to say, because he says that the unrighteous that are burned will be ashes under your feet, you must be gone.
Malachi 4, 1 through 4, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, very obviously, this passage has nothing to do with eternal conscious torment.
Right.
So if you use a text out of context, you're going to have a pretext. Malachi directs his message of judgment against a people plagued by corrupt priests and wicked practices and a false sense of security.
So the context is not with respect to what's going to happen in hell. You're asking this text, or the person that's raising this issue is asking this text to answer a question that the text isn't designed to answer.
Right.
So you got to look at the panoply of Scripture and say, what does Scripture say about hell? What does Scripture say about the nature of God? Well, God is perfectly just, and each person who spurns his grace is going to suffer exactly what he deserves. Humans are fashioned in the image of God, and to eliminate human beings would do violence to the nature of God. And so the alternative from a biblical perspective to annihilation is quarantine. And of course, that's precisely what hell is. But going back to Malachi 4, language here is language not to be taken in a wooden literal sense. It's judgment language which employs hyperbole and metaphor. And I would say the same thing is true in the sense of speaking about hell. The Bible employs metaphors, but again, metaphors that apply to the context of what hell is going to be like. Being separated from God for all eternity is going to be like blackest darkness forever. Being separated from God for all eternity is going to be like being in a lake of burning sulfur. They're human instruments or words employed to communicate just how terrible it will be to be apart from the one who not only spoke and the universe leapt up into existence, but apart from the one who condescended to provide a way that we could be redeemed for time and for eternity.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question.
You got it. Thanks for your call, Daniel. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Barbara. She's listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I have a question about the Yahweh religion or the Elijah religion.
Yeah.
Especially if you consider it an occult or cult and speak especially to the subject of how they say that you are Jesus. We shouldn't call Jesus Jesus, but Yahweh, because there were no J's in the original Hebrew language.
Well, it's just ridiculous. I mean, these groups don't even abide by their own standards, because the sacred name is not actually Yahweh to start with. It's YHWH. They're called the unspeakable four letters. So by their own standards, these groups have violated the principle of adding to God's name by adding an A and an E. So they lack complete credibility. In fact, they have no credibility whatsoever, because the very thing that they profess, they themselves violate.
Do you consider it an occult or an occult?
Yeah, I think they should go by the title Cults Are Us. I mean, we have no real warrant for claiming to know exactly how God's name was pronounced. And if the writers of the Greek New Testament didn't use the form Yeshua, why should we?
They claim that the King James Version has so many errors in it, that King James was a sodomite, so, you know, he messed up the Bible or whatever.
Well, whether King James was a sodomite or not is not the issue. The issue is, did he commission the King James Version of the Bible? And the answer is yes, he did. He commissioned it in 1604, and it was completed in 1611. Now, the next question is how well does the King James Version fare when it is judged in light of extant manuscript evidence? And I would say it has withstood the test of time. There are differences that we have with the newer translations, but they're not substantive differences. And the differences that we find are a direct result of the fact that we have manuscripts that were not available to those who were commissioned to do the King James Version in 1604. We have newer and more ancient manuscripts at our discretion, but in the whole, the newer translations rely on those manuscripts, so those manuscripts make differences in style and so forth, and spelling, and no substantial differences.
Okay, so you're saying that they basically they don't abide by their own teachings by adding letters also to, you said the original was YHWH?
Yeah, exactly. They're called the unspeakable four letters or the tetragrammaton. So I'm saying that what they're doing is they're adding letters to the tetragrammaton, and therefore they're not even abiding by the standards or the rules that are artificial to start with, but the rules that they've established. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll record my answers to your questions, and we'll play this edition that we're recording right now tomorrow right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow for day two of The Bible Under Siege. In Hank Hanegraaff's The Bible Under Siege, he offers three strategic and memorable acronyms to win the war in the fight for the Bible. First, in light of the current onslaught against the sacred text of Scripture, Hank gives us legacy, an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and meaning of the Bible. Next is Hank's new acronym, SHAFT, a memorable means of unearthing the undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Indeed, the shaft of the archaeologist's spade is a method by which you can remember that what has been discovered in the soil corresponds to what is detailed in the scriptures. Finally, in addition to exposing the sophistry and script torture of professors and pundits, this booklet systematically demonstrates that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. In doing so, Hank provides an elaboration on his acronym, MAPS. Since most Bibles are replete with maps, this should prove to be a memorable association. Become equipped to present the Bible in all its power and authority, and respond to false attacks when you order The Bible Under Siege for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also order through the mail when you write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or go online at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. It's the wealth of information and research you would expect from the Christian Research Institute, all via your computer. Again, the address is www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.